Oh, we are up to Perek Tes Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, that's where we were up to. That's where we left off. Hosea, page 136. Ephraim, ko'if yis oifef kivaydam. Ephraim refers to the Aseres Hashvatim. Like a bird, it will fly away, like a bird, yis oifef will fly, kivaydam, their honor. Now, I just said a mouthful. Who says what kivaydam means? Their honor. Okay, we'll discuss this in a few moments, what this means in more detail. Mileida umibeten umehe royoin, from birth, from the womb, and from pregnancy. Okay, let's just read another pasuk. I'm going to come back and explain everything in great detail in one moment. Pasuk Yudbeis. Ki im yigadlu es b'nehem, because if these people, the people of the Aseres Hashvatim, if they would succeed in raising their children, then the shikaltim me'adam, I would cause it that they would die. In other words, it's better. Basically, we see over here, at least according to one interpretation, is that it's a good thing. It's a good thing that their honor should be taken away at the time of birth, from the womb, or from pregnancy, that people should die. They should not even come into this world. That's really what it means. Better, they should not come into this world, because if they would come into this world and grow into children and adults, they would die. And as Rashi will tell us, the pain, it's not only Rashi for this, the pain of an adult leaving this world is much, much more painful than the tsar of an infant leaving this world. It's a very, very, no one's denying the tragedy, the trauma that accompanies a Rahman with son when parents lose an infant, but it's ene doime, the pain, the tsar, to parents and friends, chaverim, of losing a young adult. Over here it means a young adult, a person in the prime of his life, to leave this world at that point in time, I mean, the pain is infinite. We also have in Chalamoy, there was a Chasson Kala that was lifted in a horrific car crash. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So we see exactly what it means. What it means, a young adult to leave this world. So here it says, it's better in some situations. We have to really understand what this means. We are Shabalech Rebuchal. So therefore, we have to understand that over here, when Rahmanus and a person leaves this world, when they are in the state of an infant, the pain is less. Now, that's a very difficult concept to understand, because at least for the person, okay, maybe for the survivors, for us, it's much more painful to witness the death of a young adult relative to an infant. But for the neshama, certainly the neshama had much greater toeles, had many more opportunities to do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, if he left this world when he was here for a significant period of time. So it's almost selfish what Hosea is saying. Hosea here is saying is it would be better for these people to die when they're infants, and not because the pain then, relatively speaking, is much less than if they were to die when they were young adults. Yeah, but that's maybe true for us, the people who have to deal with the aftermath of tragedy. But for the people, for the neshamas, for these people, wouldn't it be better for this child, this infant, to live 20, 30 years, where he could accomplish great things? Then you have to say that over here, Hashem is saying that these people are not going to accomplish anything. Adarabah, these individuals are going to do terrible averos, and they're going to have nothing to their credit. So it would be better for these people as well that they should die young. It's not just better for the people who have to deal with the effects, the aftermath of their leaving the world, but the people themselves, he's predicting, being that they're living in this in amongst the Aseres Hashvatim, and the Aseres Hashvatim are involved in doing the terrible averos, so the neshamas themselves would be better off leaving the world early and not being nichshol in terrible averos. Okay, we'll see more about that in a moment soon. Ki gam oy lohem, it's going to be an oy. Oy means
tshuva.
So over here, Hashem is predicting that they're not going to do tshuva. Hashem over here says that the reality is that the situation, the environment will not, it's not likely that these people are going to do teshuva. It's not that it's eliminated, it's not that it's eliminated, Hashem nefes v'chir, but sometimes the conditions are such that it's unlikely. It's unlikely. So Shay here is assessing the situation and it's not good. If you do not have an environment where there is a likelihood that people can be Matzliach, you're in trouble. Look, in the early years of America, before they established yeshivas for Tumeikah Shel Beis Rabban, it was a Churban. It was well known, and people who came to America, people who left Europe, their rabbeim there, told them, "Don't go. If you're going to go, what will be left of you? There is no infrastructure. There are no moistos in order to raise your children in this medina." Al derech Yisrael Sada. And that only came about many, many years later. I mean, that came only about probably in the 20s, the 30s, when yeshivas first began to be created, to be formed, and then people had a standing chance. So it was a reality. So here also, Hashem over here is witnessing what's taking place in the Aseret HaShvatim, the worshipping idols, they're rebelling against Kadosh Baruch Hu. The children that have been born to the families of the Aseret HaShvatim do not stand a chance. And therefore, it would be better for these people to die when they're infants and not to grow to become young adults and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take their lives. Kigam oy lohem. It's going to be a very great oy. Oy is an expression of mourning. Besuri mehem. When I, Hashem, here he's saying, speaking the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I turn away from them. Hashem says that the rate that you are going, I will remove my divine presence from you, and with that comes the consequences that you will be destroyed by your enemies. Okay, so over here, two psukim, there's a lot going on. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Slava Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 136, Pasuk Yud Aleph on the bottom right, Yud Aleph Ka'oif Yisoifef Kivaydam. What does this mean? So here, Rashi over here says the Mitzvah says some very fascinating things. What is the Kavod? What exactly here is that it says that over here that the kavod will be taken away from Ephraim at the time of their birth, the time of the pregnancy, and the time of their conception. Rashi says, HaKavod Yifrach Mechem K'moy Ha'oif HaPodech Maher. First of all, it means it will be taken very swiftly. It's going to happen overnight. It's not going to take long for this to happen. Ritzon Eloimar, Lo Yeh Naseh Mechem HaKavod HaNaseh Li Lodim Be'es Kivoldam Uve'es He consum bivrisoy shel Avraham Avinu. Fascinating. A child is given kavod when he's born. At the time of Leda, what's the kavod? The bris milah. Now, what kind of kavod is that? The child has no clue what's going on. The child doesn't know what's going on in the bris milah. Adar the bris milah, the child's in a lot of pain. Okay, bris milah, is he in pain, not pain? Okay, you leave it to the scientists to tell us if a child really knows what's going on in the bris milah. Why is the baby crying? But in any event, over here, obviously, it's not referring to the kavod of the child. It's referring to the family. Now, when a child is born to a family, there is kavod at the time of Leda. What are we referring to? According to the Mitzudos, the bris milah. Next, mileda. So the Leda over here is... He explains. He repeats himself to Mitzudas. He's giving a curse. He's a terrible curse that when these children will be born after a woman carrying, first she conceives. To conceive is not so simple.
You don't even give a name.
What?
You don't give a name.
That's not necessarily true.
The minig is
Yisrael is given a name by a bris. However, we know that Rachmana Litzan of a child is not well. I heard this number of times. Yeah. A child is not well. Of Chaim Kanievsky, I've heard this a few stories from him, and really? He says they should give the name immediately, yeah. So the family and friends have a name they can insert into their Shmoyne Esrei to be Mispalo.
Wow. You can always put in, you know.
They used to do that years ago. Years ago, I remember there was this child. They called him Tinoik. Yeah. Tinoik Ben. Yeah. You still hear about that. But of Chaim Kanievsky, I've heard at least more than one story where he said no. Give the name immediately. And that way, before the bris milah, that way people have a name to focus on when they are mispalo. It's somehow more satisfying to have a name. Okay, so we know that there are many stories where it's called Tinoik, where people do not give a name. So obviously the different opinions among the G'dolei Yisrael. But here
when the Mitzvah David wrote the Mitzvah David,
yeah. He doesn't say name. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you say, you're adding something into the word, it doesn't say. All he says over here is Mileda. So what's the covet? So you're telling me the covet is a name. Giving a name is the covet. He doesn't say that. It's a very nice idea. It's a very nice idea. But it doesn't say that. Mehem yifrach ha-kovoy be'es ha-leidah ki oz yamusu ad lo yavohu l'zman hachnosas ha-bris v'lo yasigu ha-kovoy ha-na'aseh oz. When a child is born, a bris mila, let's call the leidah, there is kovoy. Next, umi beten. What's the beten? Now this is very interesting. Mehem yifrach ha-kovoy be'es yetsu mi beten ki the kovoy of coming out of the womb ki yavoldu me'sim, they will be stillborn. Miscarriages. There's another cover that's given to a birth. When a baby is born, maybe you want to suggest, okay, it doesn't say this, the Shalom Zohar, or for you say Mazel Tov, all the cover, there's cover that is given to a child or to the family just with birth. Forget about Ladle. A ladle, obviously, in other words, the late is later. The late, they will not reach the time of
the bris
of the mibeten. Ladle means they will reach past ladle. That's how he learns. They will reach past ladle to the bris. Beten means they will reach past the beten to coming out of the womb, which is birth. Umei hei royoim. This is very interesting. Umehem yifrach ha-kavod be'ez ha-heron v'tzun lo'imar ki lo ya'abu nishoy sehem klal me'le yifrach ha-kavod ve'enenu. So it seems like a woman who's pregnant, it's a kavod. There was such a thing like this. That a woman, it's a tachshit for a woman to be pregnant. There is such a thing. What?
In the tray, if you sit down.
Say yeah.
They give you a
seat on the bus. They give you a seat on the bus. I saw a video before YouTube was blocked. Shocking video. This is either in India or in China. A woman comes onto the bus, onto a train. It was not in America, and she was pregnant. She looked pregnant. So a guy gets up and gives her the seat. And then, a few minutes later, all of a sudden, pop! She had a balloon. She put a balloon. It's a video. You can probably find it on YouTube if you look for it. She put a balloon under her coat, which made her look pregnant, and the balloon popped. So the guy who gave her the seat saw what she did. So he assaulted her. He beat her up. He started punching her. Chutzpah, what kind of chutzpah is this? So you're saying very good. A woman who's pregnant has certain rights. But also, it's a takshav v'chal. A woman has a very great pleasure in that she is pregnant. So this kovod that she feels, will be taken away in this curse that Hashem is giving, that due to their sins, they're not going to conceive. And if they conceive, rachmana litzlan, they're not going to carry full term. And if rachmana litzlan, they carry full term and the baby is born, the baby will not make it to the bris. And there's going to be a denial of the kavod that is given at each one of these three stages. What's the obvious kasha? It's backwards. It's what? So girl babies, so you have to say first the pregnancy is the same. Leida, you have a kiddush for a girl who's born, and what comes at a later point in time, I don't know. What? You're asking very good. What are the three parallel stages? By a girl? Very good. I don't know the answer. But the question of here is, why are we going backwards? So the Marie Kora, he tries to say it's Slavdavka. I don't really understand the Marie Kora. So he gives an example. I don't really have clarity what he means to say. He's the only one on the page that talks about why we're going backwards. But it basically means it's a style of writing. It means that Halavai, they should not even come to a time of later. Because we have to understand, when the baby already is born after 9 months, and then the baby dies, before the bris mila, there's much, much more grief. Yeah. There was so much anticipation. 9 months of carrying a child. I mean, it's just the pain is just overwhelming. If after the baby is born healthy, then it dies. And then there's a stillborn. That's also very painful. Well, her, it's not as painful, who are we to say, as when the baby is really born.
Yeah,
and then...
There's a scale for such...
Right, there is no scale. You're right, there is. But then a woman who cannot conceive. What about a woman who cannot conceive? That's certainly very... We know that to be very true today. That's also very, very painful. I don't know, so maybe you want to say, you know, maybe you're saying very good, maybe you're saying, there's more pain in a woman who never conceived than a woman who conceived, had a full healthy baby, and then the baby died before the bris. Maybe there is such a thing to that. Exactly. So the pain, maybe that's the deeper pshat in the pasuk, is that over here we're going from a greater pain to a lesser pain. It's a greater pain, a woman who never achieves. I mean, we're going up in pain. We're going from a lower pain to a greater pain. It's obviously very, very traumatic. A baby dies after Leda. But there's even a greater pain when the baby does not make it to full term. And then there's even a greater pain when a woman, Rachman al son, cannot even achieve a state of pregnancy. So it's a very deep idea. It's a psychological approach to the pasuk. Maybe that's talk of the traditional mikra. Okay, now let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi elaborates. Let's do the next pasuk. The next pasuk is the Mitzudos. Okay, let's go further.
Stillborn is another way of saying miscarriage.
Yes. Correct. Yes. Okay. Pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis, upon page 139. Pasuk Yudbeis. Ki im yigalu asher im kama mehem yigalu es b'neihem yinatzlu. We'll come back. We'll do the two soon together. Upon page 139. The Mitzudos ki im yigalu asher im kama mehem yigalu es b'neihem yinatzlu mehamikrim ha'im. If it will be. Let's say that there are people out there among the Haseres Hashvatim who are immune to the curse of Hoshea. It's a pretty severe curse Hoshea is giving. Let's say there are people who are immune and they conceive and they are pregnant and they give birth and they have a bris milah. He writes here in the next pasuk, Im Asher Im Kama Mechem Yigalu Esprem Yinasu Me'amikrom Ha'im Hinei Ashaklem Me'adam. You know what's going to happen? They're going to die young. They're going to die as shackles in the very harsh word, which means to be bereaved, me adam, when they are in a state of adam, or me adam, the mem, the prefix here means before they reach adulthood. Ritzon Eloimar, yamusu ad shelo yagiu ligvul ish, ki yamusu odam kitanim. This is how we learn pshat in the pasuk. Me adam means before they become full adults. And that's going to be certainly very, very painful. Rachman al-Tzal, when a child dies. Okay, that's one of the worst things. Kigam, asher levad zayir b'chol ma'aseyem. Besides this, because if they do become, they do reach a state of life, and they do things, whatever they do in their life, Hoshea is predicting, oy lohem. Woe to them. The ace also liparid behem, because what's the oy lohem? Because Hashem, I know that Hashem, they will sin, and Hashem will depart his presence from them, and when the enemy comes to attack and destroys them, it's not going to be pretty. And these people, at that point in time, they would have been better off had they never been born, because of the suffering that's going to come upon them at that moment in time. This is how he learns pshat in the Tzupsukim. We're going to use a curse. He's telling, really, it's not only it's not a curse, he's really trying to give them a bracha. I'm telling you, it would be better for you that you should not be born. These children should not be born, because if they're going to be born, I know they're going to sin. And when they sin, they're going to cause Hashem to remove his divine presence. And that will bring about Churban. And at the time of Churban, it's going to be extremely painful, and at that point in time, you will have wished you never were born. Now, there's a famous Tosfos Masechet Kiddushin. I meant to look it up, so I forgot. Probably you can look it up over here on your Sefaria, which Tosfos, where this is, Tosfos says that there's a Chazal that says that, is that there's going to be, Mashiach is not going to happen until Klal Yisrael basically comes to an end. That Klal Yisrael, we don't follow this Chazal, but there's going to be that the Golus is going to, the intensity of the Golus is so great,
it has to reach a low point,
and Klal Yisrael will cease to exist. So therefore, Therefore, Tosfos says, therefore, it is forbidden for a man to marry. Kamadra says those words. Man should not get married and have children. For what purpose? You're just bringing into this world people who will, the conditions are such, basically what Hoshea says, where they don't have a standing chance. They're going to be nichshol. There's going to be korban. They're not going to survive. So therefore, it's not kedai. It's not worthy for man to marry a woman and have children. Tosfos concludes. What should I do though? No one listens to me. The whole world is getting married. They're getting married and having children. What does he say? No, mutov sheyushoygin. Va'al Yehu Mezidin. Mutav, better they should be. They didn't listen, they don't know, they don't really. This is what Tosfos says.
Why does he endeavor to write
Tosfos
if it's going to come to an end? What's the point?
Oh, very good, very good. There's a lot of kash you can listen to Tosfos. I know it's hard to believe that. I said, maybe during the break, look and see if you have a safari on your gadget.
At least you know which parrot.
A safari, just type in the word, Mutav Sheyu Shoygigin. And it will come up. It's Tosfos, and I think it's in Kiddushin. It's in Kiddushin. It's in the bottom of the page. The bottom of the page. So during the break, we'll lean it. I'll look it up on my computer.
Wasn't okay. Tosfos married?
He was. Yeah, he was. What? They. Were they married? The Baalei Tosfos. Okay, but L'chora, the Baalei means they one person wrote each Tosfos.
Yeah, I meant that.
Yes, of course you have. It's fine. Don't worry. Oimer Hari, you always have the Rabbi Nutan, the Ri. Okay, it was a group of people, but each one wrote each Tosfos. You know, it's like they make an announcement that come to the dinner tonight. There's going to be separate seating. What does that mean? Everyone's going to sit in their own chair. But you may be sitting next to a woman. So it's the Baalei Tosfos, but each one of the Baalei Tosfos wrote one Tosfos. Usually. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was a group who wrote each Tosfos together. Okay, let's go first. So this is the parish of Mr. David.
The album is really bad.
Okay, we're coming to the Malamah, right?
I know, I'm sure.
Okay, so this is the penalty thing over this one.
There's no cash on Tosfos, because there were Tosfos in Germany, there were Tosfos in France. They're completely different ideologies.
Many of the Tosfos were written with blood. It was written during the times of the Crusades, and its service was so great. They died, some of them died moments after they wrote the Tosfos. They were writing the Tosfos as the Crusaders were marching into their homes and killed them shortly thereafter. Yeah?
In Sota, the longest...
Tosfos? Daf?
Yeah, in Sota, it's the longest one written by blood. I remember probably 8 of them, and someone looked it up.
Many of them were written during the time of the Crusades, where they died. They saw in front of them the Khorban. They mamash saw the Khorban. Look, we know the story. They slaughtered their own children. They realized that if their children would have been taken converted, they would have been so many of them. They actually killed. They slaughtered their own children. They view what they were doing as if they would be makav a karban, because they realized that the Crusaders were going to come. They would kill the adults, take the children, and the children would grow up as non-Jews, would grow up as Christians.
During Rashi's time,
during the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, during that period of time, and then there were different, very painful tshuvas where parents slaughtered their children. And the Crusaders never came. They took a turn. They made a turn on their block. Wow. So they lived the rest of their life with enormous guilt that they took the life of their children for nothing. And they couldn't live with themselves. And they needed therapy, I mean, to say the least. How do they deal? And there was even a Shiloh, are you allowed to do this? Today, it's unheard of. Today, there's no posek the last, let's say, 500 years that would ever say you're allowed to do it. Whatever it is, it's not your business. Do not take the life of your child, no matter what's going to happen.
Right.
However, what? in the Holocaust, but they didn't. I don't think you ever have a story in the Holocaust where people were told that they should kill their children. I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of such a thing. Maybe there is. Okay, maybe there is. It will be with decisions what to do. Should they send away their kids? Not send away their kids. Give the kids to Goyim. Give the kids to the Christians. I never heard of a story in the Holocaust, but I'm not saying it's not true, where parents decided they killed their children. They killed their. There are stories where they killed their children if they were hiding in secret, and they suffocated them in order that other people should not die. Okay, that's a different type of question. But you were talking about that if the children would have been caught, they would have been converted, they would have been grown up as goyim. So you don't hear of that parents during the Holocaust they slaughter their children so they should not be taken by goyim and raised as goyim. I never heard such a story. Not to say that didn't happen. I don't know, but why? Because it's obviously the thinking of the Gedolei Hador for the last probably at least 500 years. I don't know. I can't say for sure. I don't know history. Was you don't do this. Whatever it is, it's not in your power. It's not your decision to take the life of another person, no matter what. However, 700, 800 years ago, during the Crusades, during 1,000 years ago, during the Crusades, that was not the thinking. The Gedolei Hador paskind. They issued a hoira. No, you should indeed take the life of your child. You should take the. They viewed it as a sacrifice. The Akedah. They took a sakin. They sharpened it as if it was a carbon, and they slaughtered their children. That was the psak halacha, that the children should not be taken by the Christians and raised as goyim. Times change. You know, halacha changes based upon the generation, the thinking of the conditions of the generation, and the thing of the Gedolei Hador. You read about this in the kinnis. I mean, there are kinnis in the Tisha B'Av. There are four of them that mamish discuss this concept where parents sacrificed their children. And when you read this, it is extremely disturbing because we've never heard of such a thing in modern times as this being permitted al pi halacha. And if you go to a nasifa, they'll always tell you this thing, the Nechanani, this is foreign concept in our minds, but 1,000 years ago it wasn't. And why not? Because we don't understand what it was like to live in those times. We don't understand we don't understand the Kedusha and the Tahara that Jews live with and what it was in their mind to realize that their children would be raised as Goyim. And we also do not understand how religious the non-Jews were. Today we don't have respect for non-Jews today. Today you see a Christian. You have respect for a Christian? Does anyone have respect for the Pope? You read online, it's a joke. There's very little respect.
Fewer,
what?
Fewer and fewer.
Right. Fewer and fewer. It's not in the Skadnu. When I grew up as a child, I can't tell you, but I think I remember the Goyim, they had reverence for the Pope. Okay. They had reverence. They mamish, no, they tzittered. What? It's mamish tzittered. Today, you go online, it's a mamish, it's unbelievable. They have no respect for the Pope. It's a joke. He says something. And they attack him the same way they attack a politician. They attack him. Almost the same thing. Mamish Niskadnu, it's very frightening. Forget about us. It's frightening. What has happened to the Goyim? Niskadnu Hadoris. They have no respect for their religious leaders. And so we have no clue. 1,000 years ago, the Goyim who were religious were fanatics. I mean, it was heavy duty. And for a Jew to be raised among them, you know what that meant? It meant something very, very different of anything it can possibly have meant for the last 500 years. And therefore, obviously, the halacha, the Gedolei Hador who made these decisions, had a very different approach to dealing with this nisoyon of what to do when a child would be taken away by a goy and be raised by a goy. What do you do? It's a very different world, so it's not for us to judge. We really do not relate in whatsoever to the way they live, the kedusha and the tahara of the Klal Yisrael. And ze le'uma ze, the koyach of tumah, that was very powerful in the world at that tkufa in history.
The Abarbanel writes extensively on it in by Lo Yochla Od Hatzvino, and they threw Moshe in the Yam. After Vatchayenos Hayelodim, Yocheved, she put a son, I mean, where was somebody talking like that? But since she was who she was, working for the government, so to speak, he said they had to make a cheshbon that if she were caught, they would kill the whole family. They would kill Aaron and Miriam and Yocheved and Amram. They would die. So, Batos and Basuf al Sfasayar, they had to put him in the mosque.
These are very difficult decisions.
What to do with him. That, you know, they say Batero Sofi, they saw Shechina, whatever it is, and they still put him in the Am.
They're impossible decisions. Impossible decisions.
You know, the Pope came here in 1978. And I was working on Fifth Avenue. It was incredible. You know, the atmosphere, you know, every boy who worked in the office was standing at the windows or running down the stairs. It was like...
He came many times recently. I mean, over the years.
I remember the one in 78.
78, so then it was...
That was only for the Pope.
Okay, let's not talk about the Pope. I'm not sure on the Pope. Yeah. Zelu maze. Zelu maze. Yeah. And a chanami. No, it's a toisvis. It's a toisvis. Okay, what does it say there? What does it say? Read the words.
The Septus talked about after the Chorban, they wanted after a period of Arabia.
After the Chorban, yeah. People were not listening. After the Chorban, it better not, Klal Yisrael should just memela come to an end. We don't stand a chance in Galus to survive. But people didn't want to listen to the Psak Halacha. So what are you going to do? No. Mutov Shiyushaygin V'al Yehu Meizidin. But look, the truth is, we survived. It's now almost 1948, 1948 years, and Klal Yisrael is thriving like never before. So the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. So you see, Klal Yisrael, they knew not to follow the Psak Halacha. They knew the Itaka would survive very well.
And that's
Makar of
the
Geula. Avada, Geula. I want to say, if the Rishonim would come today, let's say the Tanoim, the Amor, we're so negative. This is no good. That's no good. Always Musa, everything is no good. If the Tanoim, the Amoroim would come to this generation, they would come out of their graves. Hashem would give them Trias HaMeisim for 10 minutes. Trias HaMeisim for 10 minutes and will come to America. Come over here to America. They'll be very impressed. It would be beyond their wildest expectations. How much Kiddusha Utahara, learning mitzvahs, chesed, shmiras ha-mitzvahs, emuna, that exists in this world through Klal Yisrael. Beyond their wildest expectations.
How would they react? People from the
1930s. No, so that they would...
sent into marriage.
So that so eight is so what? So there is... Whatever it is, it's sad, it's very, very sad. But the fact that there is still 20% that is thriving, and the 20% is in the process of bringing back the 80%, I mean, whatever you can do, you can do. Okay, there are limits to what you can do, is just amazing. It's just beyond. So even the old, you always will always hear the mussar that we're nothing, we're garbage. We're all zombies, you know, all these chois that you hear all the time. Yeah, it's all taka true. But yet, don't ever forget that Klal Yisrael is alive and well. They're alive and kicking. And it's an awesome what Klal Yisrael is today. And no one ever would have expected it to be so good. Yeah.
If you would look, even from the 1920s and 30s.
Who would imagine? Who would imagine? Who would be imagined? The famous Life magazine, right? The extinction, the end of Orthodox Jews. Okay, the laugh is on them.
It's called the Vanishing American
Jew. The Vanishing American Jew made a very big rush. Jews in general. Okay, 1950, it was a famous. It made a big splash. A big splash, and especially Orthodox. Haha, whoever. This is the last Kitzos. Whose story was that with? The last Kitzos. The last Kitzos.
Of
Gifter. He went into which farm store did he walk into?
The
Big Eliza.
Probably not.
Nah, he went into a store. And he wanted a ketzois achayshen. So he went up to the, he went up to the top shelf and he blew up some dust. They had this from Europe. He blew up some dust and he sold her a gift to a ketzois. It's like one of the most longest svarim that is used in the yeshivas. And he said to him, this is going to be the last ketzois that is sold in America. Gani. And he blew the dust off the top of the ketzais. Here you go. Here you go. Do you know how many ketzaisim were sold? Do you know how many editions with perushim and chidushim and yesaitis were sold since then? You can't even count. It's not even possible to count. So there's something to be said. You know, mutav shishayge value mezidin l'choy was proven wrong. Some degree. I mean, whatever that means, it means. And they can't go say something, you know, the Tanoim, Amaroyim, Tosefta, they say something, the Bali Tosfos. But Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is doing very well, at least in some respects. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, we did all the Mitzudos, if I'm not mistaken, right? Did we do all the Mitzudos? What are we up to doing the Mitzudos? Let's finish the Mitzudos. Let me see, we should finish the whole thing. We finished. Okay. We finished. Let's see Rashi. Rashi back on page 136. Rashi puts together the pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Ephraim Koyf Yis Oifeif Amar Hanavi. Here Rashi really gives it over well. Hoshea makes the following statement: Halavai v'yiyu koif hazeh hanoided mikinoi v'chodel mipriya urivia. Halavai Klal Yisrael should desist from marriage. They should stop having children. This is Mam's Tosis, I told you. You don't have to go to Tosis. You see over here in Rashi. Rashi says, come out the same as Hoshea. Forget about Tosis. Go back. Rashi is saying, this is what Hoshea said. They should stop having children. Koch, and in that fashion, if they'll stop getting married, having children, Mimelo Yishaklu Ezarom. Then in that way,
if they don't do it,
well, you think it's a little bit hard to translate the words, because if they don't do it, yishaklu ezarom, their seed will come to an end, because if they do attempt to engage in priya urivia, so anyway, they're going to come to an end, either at the time, oy b'shas later, their seed will come to an end. Yishakel here means bereaved, which means come to an end. Oy b'shaz leida, oy yisakel babeten vayat. Either they'll die at birth, or yisakel babeten, they'll have a miscarriage vayapilu. They will be mifakel. Something will go wrong during pregnancy, and they will have a miscarriage. Oy b'shaz heroyoin. Okay, that's or they will not lo yikloitu. They will not conceive. Period. It will not be coiled. The zera will not be coiled. He ma betza bigadlo mes b'nehem. What benefit will there be if they will give birth to healthy children? The conditions are such they don't stand a chance. They're going to all be nichshol in terrible averos, which will cause Hashem to get angry and cause terrible paranas. Shim yigadlo, because if they will become adults, v'shikaltim me'adam. Gigam lohem lo'avos oy, they will become, the parents will bereave them when they're adults. Gigam lohem lo'avos oy, at that point in time, their parents will have terrible, intense pain. Oy is a word for pain. Bisuri mehem, kimoy bisuri mehem, the word bisuri with a sin is as if it says it with a samach. And when it's spelled with a samach, it means to remove. There are a couple of times in Tanakh where the word besuri is spelled with a sin, but it really is to be interpreted as if it's spelled with a samach. Vikorayon samach. This is the first interpretation of Rashi. Rashi over here is telling us over here that halvai, it should be that they should desist from pri urvil, and because they don't, they're going to have lots of problems, and the halavai, they should die young and not die when they're older, because the older they get, the more pain there is going to be. Now, Davarach, now he has a new interpretation. Just like this bird, so too, their honor. Now, what is their honor? Kol ma shenitztaru b'bneihem b'leidu v'heroyon. Now, to write them here is a novel pshat. I'll tell you a var to explain this. Sometimes the word kavod is spelled mole, and sometimes it's spelled chose. Kavod with a vav, and kavod without a vav. When Yosef sent a message to his father, through the brothers, go tell my father, it's called kivoidi asheri isen. So if I'm not mistaken, there it's spelled with a vav, mole. And Lavan, by Lavan it says, the word also, Lavan there says, but Lavan also says the word kavoy, that Lavan had a lot
he
of...
ran away, Yaakov ran away.
Lavan about himself, he says the word there is spelled kavoy without a vav chose. So the Darshanim explained, kavoy, really there are two types of kavoy, moly and chose. Kavoy really means kaved, a burden. It's a burden. With wealth comes a burden. You have to pay taxes. April 15th is coming up, right? If you're doing well, you got to pay a visit to your tax lawyer. With wealth comes a very big burden. However, there's another type of kavod, which is honor, true honor, dignity, yiras shamayim, self-worth. That does not bring a burden, that brings honor. Shalom aleichem.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
So there's two types of cover. Cover with a vav, there's true dignity, honor. And then there is when a person who receives, he has wealth, and everyone is coming to give him honor, they don't care about him. They don't care about why they're coming to give him honor. They want something from him. Why are they showering these very wealthy people with honor? It's because they want a donation. They want their money. Do they have any respect for these people? Zero. They have no respect for these people. But because they're rich, and they have the power, and we need them, and without them we can close up shop, no. Whatever the gevir does, it's a maila. Someone wrote a letter. He wrote a letter, Chavis. So I showed him this letter, a very wealthy person, and I showed him the response. I showed him how people, all the comments people made about this letter. And they were all effusive in their praise. What an incredible, incredible letter. And I showed the letter, and I nitpicked on the letter. I'm not worth it. This is my opinion. This is foolish. This is outright nonsense. This paragraph is totally stupid. and I explain why every paragraph doesn't make a bit of sense. But why do I all these comments over here? Wow. Super brilliant. Unbelievable. Because the mechanef, the gevir, they need his money. So everyone has to say the gevir is a... I said to him, if the gevir would walk in the street naked, what would they say? What a beautiful body he has. What a beautiful body. If a poor man walks in the street naked, ugh, disgusting. Call the police. Put him in a mental institution. Despicable. This is a danger to society to let such a person walk around like this in the street. But the gevir walks in the street naked. What a beautiful body he has, right? That's unfortunately the mitzvahs. Kavod. They give the gevir kavod. They really respect him. They have no respect for him. They need him. They need him. So they give him. That's called kavod. That's kavod. That's a burden. That's like a donkey that you torture by putting on him a ton of bricks. And you couldn't care less. And you don't take the bricks off. You let the donkey just die in his load. It's a kavod. And then this kavod, the real kavod, mole yiras shamayim, shmiras hamitzvos, torah va'avodah, kedusha v'tahara. That's kavod with a vav. Yosef said to his brothers, go tell my father, it's called kivod yasher isem.
In Mitzrayim.
Don't tell him that I'm a rich man. Don't tell him I'm Lavan. Lavan was covered without a vav. Tell my father, I brought about in Egypt Yirah Shamayim. All of the Egyptians have bris milah. All of the Egyptians know they have an appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tell my father, I brought about an awareness, a token fulfillment for Hoya Hashem Lemelech Al Kol Haaretz Bayomahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. That's the kavod that I have in Mitzrayim. Lavan was a rich man. It says by Lavan also he had kavod, but there it's Choser. Lavan was a rich man. The whole world came to bow down to him. You know why? Because they needed his money. It was a burden, just a burden to keep up with the Joneses. That's all it was. So here Rashi here says, the kavod, the yivach kol kavodim, over here kavod means the burden. Rashi is taking the word kavod and saying, oh, over here he's focusing on the, not on the positive element of kavod, it means the burden. Raising children is a burden. Conceiving is a burden. It doesn't always go so easy. It's a burden. Once a woman is pregnant, 9 months could be torture to get through the 9 months. Be bedridden for 9 months. Every day is torture. And then once the baby is leida, the chevle leida, it's torture. We all know that. It's a tsar chevle leida. So here it says, the yivrach over here, Rashi over here is saying, Rashi is that halavai ship all of your the burden over here. It's very interesting. Perush, he writes over here that Ephraim koif yisoy faith kivaydam. When the child grows into a young adult or an adult, and then this person dies without having accomplished anything significant. He never davened, he never learned the Daf Gemara, he never learned the Pasuk in Chumash. So what do the parents have to say for all of their kavod? All of their kavod. Not the kavod in the positive kavod. The kavod of the honor. All of their hard work. The parents, they struggled to conceive. They went for brachas and all the rebbes. They went to doctors. Then the later, the 8 to 9 months of pregnancy was torture. And then the later was torture. And the tsar, gidul, bonim. This is not kavod. This is kaved. So it's worth it. No, isn't it worth it? All the tsar, all the pain. If you have something to show for yourself, you have nachas from the child. He does something good. So you know what? It was all worth it. But here, Hosea says, guess what? These people are going to die an empty death. They're going to live an empty life. And all of the kaved, all of the burden that the parents suffered in order to bring their children to this point is just a total waste. Like a bird. A bird flies away. I invested $1 million in this child. Toil, sweat, blood, tears. Gone, out the window, a total waste of time and effort. That's how Rashi, isn't that a very powerful pshat? That's how Rashi over here is saying, not the pshat, they're going to die. There's not going to be a heroyon. There's not going to be a leda. That's not what it says. All of these things are going to happen. There's going to be a heroyon, there's going to be a beten, there's going to be a leda, and they're going to become a young adult, and then they're going to die. There's going to be shikol. The pasuk goes on, kimi gadlu espideyem ve'ush v'shikaltim me'adam. They're going to be bereave them when they are adults. And at that point in time, we go backwards in the pasuk. The parents say to themselves, so what do we waste our whole lives for? We wasted our whole lives raising these children and we have nothing to show from them. That's very painful. That's the curse of Hosea. In Rashi's second perush, when you fataych, the word kvoidam does not mean honor, like the mitsudo says, brismila, oh, you make a nice sudo, all the rabbanim come and they give you kavod, you make a kiddush, a woman walks into shul, she's pregnant, it's a tachshit, she's very happy, look at that, I'm pregnant, it's a tachshit for her, kavod, that's not what it means according to Rashi's second perush. Kavod doesn't mean honor, it means work, effort, toil, tears, blood, out the window, because you have nothing to show for yourself. So one more thing, the Rashi over here says, Kol Masha Nitzstarus, the first wide line, all of the pain, which is synonymous with Kavod, Bibinehem, Beleda Uveheroyoin, Mileda, Leda Zetzar Leda, okay, Tzar Haleda, Mibeten, Elu Yimehu Ibor. 9 months of pregnancy is a painful experience for many women. Umeheroyoin, Bishash Tashmish, to conceive, it doesn't go easy. And there's a lot of effort that goes in that there should be, which is not wanted in this event. Kol Tarchem Zeh, all of this effort, Yichle, Ketzad, Sharei, the next passage explains, Kasharei, Kishe Yigadlu Es B'nehem V'Shikaltim, all of this will come to them when the children become adults and they die due to their sins and they're destroyed by the enemy. What a waste of a life to raise. It's very powerful. Yeah. Well, Shikalta means to be bereaved, right? It means all the work was for nothing. Okay, now along these lines is another parish. I don't remember who says over here. One of the other before said to come out the same exact idea, but he says the word kovoid. This is a very powerful idea. Same exact shot like what Rashi just said, but kovoid means a child. The ikar kovoid in life is children. What is your honor? What is your honor?
You're defining your wealth. If you have children
and
grandchildren,
that's your wealth. So here it says you're going to raise all of these children, and then the bird, your kovod, will blow away like a bird, fly away like a bird, just like Rashi. But instead of the word kovod meaning your effort and your toil, kovod means your children. The word kovod is a synonym for a child. The eager honor a person has in this world is the fact that he has children. Like I told you once from Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner says a person can live weeks, months, years without a home. You live in the street. You live. Eventually, you know, it'll get very cold one day. You'll catch a cold. Rachman Lestan, a person will die. But until that happens, a person can live in the street, can be homeless for quite a long time until the elements catch up with him. What about not having solid food? No, you can live a couple of weeks probably, maybe a couple of months. I don't know what the doctors say. What about not having water? A couple of days, whatever it is. What about not having air? How long can a person live without air? 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever the doctors say. How long can a person live without kovod? Not even one second. You don't even realize every person needs some dignity, some self-worth, kovod. Many people, I know this is fact, my father used to speak to people and very depressed. Like really, really deep depression. Talking, you know, major, lots of medicine. And my father, this one particular person, and really worked for this person, says, "Your children, you have children." And even though he was not on good terms at all with his children, that kept him going. Everything in his life was as rotten as can possibly be. The fact he has children, okay, he doesn't speak to them. They're not on the same team, but you know they're gonna have grandchildren. That gave him chias to go weiter. That gave him a lot of chias. Kovod. That was his kovod. That's what the Mefarshim, I think, who made the gross? Someone over here says on the page. You probably find it better than I can find it. Who says over here the kovod? He is the children. The kovod is the fact the person, all your kovod will be out the door. Same idea as Rashi, but we just substitute the kovod for children. Now let's take a look over here at the Radak. There's some nice Radak and nice Malbim. The Radak. Let's look at the Radak Ephraim. Oh, yeah, here. He's the one who says that. Look, page 137. On page 137, Ephraim, Kivoidam Kora Habonim Kavoid. Okay, that's exactly where I took it from. I stole it from there. Kiheim Kivoid Ha'avois. Kumaisha Kosov Aterez Zikenim Binevonim. The crown of a grandfather are his grandchildren. V'chein hu choyk habonim. Likewise, the kavod of a child is their father. Habonim shemechavdim ha'avais. So all of this, mileido, mibetim, mihiroyon, mileido, sheyamusu, miksasim, beis haleida, Umibeten, some of their children will die from the beten. Sheimusa on page 139, on top of 139 on the left side. Sheimusa mitzasim babeten, v'shalo yagir lahashlim yinei hayroyon, umihayroyon shlo teheren abilklema, shetiyena akoros mitzasim. He's cursing them, that their kavoy, their children, should never come into existence. Not like the mitzudois that says that bris milah, being pregnant, conceiving, these are events in where a person gets honor. No. Let's talk basics. Your children, your covered, your children will cease to exist at this moment in time. Next pasuk, some of them, not everyone. You see that it can be the whole all the aseres hashvatim. Some of them will not have children. Period. Will not conceive. Some will conceive, but they'll have miscarriages, and some will carry full term, but they will die after they're born. Pasuk Yudbeis, ki im yigalu es b'nehem, amar im yubachem mishayimoltu me'ilecha mikrim yagil leida, if there'll be people among the community who survive, and they'll have children. And we'll have children. So the young men will die. They're not going to reach a state of Adam. According to the parish of the Radak, the word Adam is an adult. And therefore, may Adam, they're not going to make it to adulthood. Plus, next words. It will be a curse in everything that they do. To the point where the parents will say about them, woe to them. When I turn away, when I depart, when I depart, the histarti ponai v'hoyo lechol Hashem says, I will conceal my face and they will be food for fodder for the enemy. Bisui bishin. Kimoy bisuri bisamach. Same thing with that the Mitsudoi said, is that, and Rashi said, is that over here we interpret the word bisuri as if there is a samach, which means that when Hashem departs, Hashem leaves, there he leaves their presence, then the enemy opens up the door for the enemy to attack, and we are vulnerable without Hashem's help, and Rachman al Sunday can be great Chorban. Let's finish up with the Radak. Okay, let's finish our back list just to the passing and the relic will finish. Back on page 137, page on the bottom, there's two lines. Ephraim, okay, the Malbum. On page 137, the Malbum, Gei Chizoyon LaHamalbum, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ephraim Asher Ko'if Yoifeith Kivaydom Miledu Mibetel Miheroyon Asher Loho Yilucham Kavod Vikar, Gam Bitchilas Leidasam, Now he's saying a new pshat. Why is there no kavod to a child who's born, to a child, to a woman who's pregnant, to a woman who conceives? Normally it's a very big event when a woman is pregnant. Big simcha. A woman is pregnant. A woman conceives, pregnant. Later in her pregnancy, she's born. You know why? Because everyone knows the little dirty secret that she's pregnant with a mamzer. So the bris milah, in fact, is halacha shulchan aruch. What do you do? We learned the bris milah aruch hashulchan has a whole section on this. What do you do? What is the seder hadvarim for a mamzer? Do you make a bracha on a bris milah? You do make a bracha, but do you say shechianu? I don't think so. Those who make a shechianu by a bris milah in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there are some communities in America also make a shechianu. So I don't think you make a shechianu by the bris milah of a mamzer, and you don't give the brachas. You don't say the nuschos k'sheim shnichnas lebris k'nikonis l'toru l'chuma. You don't a lot of things that you do not do by the bris milah of a mamzer. What? Well, let's assume that we know. Let's assume that let's say it's so rampant. The what's going on in society, so he's saying over here, there's not going to be covered when a woman conceives, pregnant, gives birth, because what's to be happy about? The ulmam zerim. Wow. Okay, a whole new pshat in the pasuk, according to the Malbim. The Malbim really, he really sounds like an Abarbanel almost, right? he really hits hard here. V'yaf v'eis her yoynim lo hoylacham kavu klal ki rubam mamzerim v'noldu biznus. V'imkeim kol shekeim shiyut shekutzim be'enai alidei zinu sam. There's nothing to be happy about. There's not going to be any covered given at this at these people. Next pasuk, Malbim ki ritzon leimar v'Yefrayim yesh lo shnei chesroi nois neged dor hamidbar. Now, if you remember, this goes back. These pasuk over here, they're going back. Hashem was comparing, we learned this before Pesach, the door of Hosea to the door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And Hashem said, the door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, I loved them so much. Lech teich acharai b'amidba b'yeretz lezerua, ahavas kelulo saich, chosin and kal. Hashem loved. And yet, Hashem did not take any nonsense from them. When they sinned, when they were choyte with the egel, the meraglim, finished, Hashem wiped them all out. So do you, this generation of Hosea, a bunch of Rishoyim, you can't hold a candle to the Dor Hamidbar. So do you think Hashem's going to tolerate nonsense from you? Hashem's going to overlook all of your sins? If Hashem didn't overlook the sins of the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, who he loved intensely, Hashem Kol Shekein, the Kol Shekein, Hashem's not going to tolerate nonsense from you. So here is Shnei Chesronis Negin Hadar Midbar. Al Shim Yigalus Meim Kivar Shikaltim Me Adam. Shabanim Einim Etzlim B'Madregas Adam Klal. First of all, at least in Dor HaMidbar, the children were legitimate. There was only one woman from the 3 million people.
Shloimis Bas Divri.
Only one Yeshkoach. Only one woman was Mezane. Kihem shikutzim mi, but these generation, you all bunch of mamzerim. Kihem shikutzim minei rechem kabale chayim nivzim umishukotzim like animals. Achash lo shamu esminam klal v'lidu mamzerim. That's problem number one. Problem number two is, kigam oilohem atzman. That even the legitimate children, people that are not mamzerim, they're also, their minds are elsewhere. They're somewhere else. Rafila Ovis Shalabanim Shanodu Shaloy Biznos Fahim Bikhlaw Bnei Adam. They're Adam. Oy Lohem Bisure Mayhem. Woe to them. Sha'av Shatri Lohisi Mayam, even though originally I was with them, Shaloy Sarti Mehem Vihish Lachtim Me Alpana Mibne Uroya Ma'alehem. However, I've abandoned them because they were Shoim. They're Oiv the Avodah Zarah. So that's how he breaks up the pasuk over here. Is the first part of the pasuk is Halavai, there's no kavod for the people who are mamzerim, and then the pasuk Yudbei says kigam oiloch, and then the pasuk v'shikaltim me adam, even the people who are adam, they're not animals, they're not shikutzim, they are legitimate, they're not mamzerim. Even for them, oilohem, because of the averos that they're doing, I have no hope, no expectations from them, and therefore I'm going to turn away from them. Okay, tomorrow Yud Gimel will stop here.